Daniel chapter number 1, let's all stand together. Daniel chapter number 1. Let's look at verse number 8. I think you know the background of Daniel. If you've been coming to church or read your Bible much, he is taken captive. His city has been demolished by King Nebuchadnezzar. The nation of Israel is under judgment. They have turned their back on the living God, and they are worshiping idols. Sounds a lot like America today. So now Jerusalem is destroyed. Daniel's taken with the first movement, and he's marched 600 miles away from home. I imagine he's probably handcuffed, most likely barefooted. I'm sure they took most of his clothes off of him, like they do to most slaves back in those days. And now his new boss is going to be Nebuchadnezzar. They're going to change his name, change his religion, change his background, change his eating habits. They're going to change everything about him. And now he's got some decisions to make. His decision affects three of his buddies. That's why the book of Daniel is so special. And if you'll notice, look at verse number 8. You've heard this verse before. It says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Now, go to chapter 5, verse number 12, okay? Chapter 5 and verse number 12. Notice what that did to him, okay? That decision, notice what it did to him. Verse number 12 says, "For as much as a," what does it say right there? Say it with me. "Excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel." So that's what the queen said. Now look what God said. Go to chapter number 6. So that's what the queen said of him. Now look what God said of him. Go to chapter 6, verse number 3. It says, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Daniel's parents have probably been killed. He's now a slave. His city has been demolished. He's been kidnapped, and God says, "Look at that. What an excellent spirit." Now, I want to preach a message on one word tonight. One word tonight. Just one word that I want you to remember before you leave tonight, and I hope at the end of the message you won't forget it and you'll use it in your life, not just tomorrow, but the rest of your life. Some of you have already been using this word, but I want you to learn it tonight. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thanks so much for the life of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Lord, and some things that we can take hold of tonight and learn from. And just a simple thought, Lord, but a powerful truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There's one word that separates all characters in the Bible. Yes, I'm going to drag it out in case you're wondering, all right? I'm dragging it out. From those being used greatly by God and those who are not used of God. There's one word that separates them. It's the same word that separates everyone in our churches and everyone in our youth groups. It's just one word. Those that make it and those that do not. If you cannot say this word or pronounce it, you're doomed for failure. Its common appearance is found all throughout the book of Daniel, and here's the word, no. 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 In the book of Daniel, he is told that he must eat of the king's meat that is offered to him, and Daniel said what? No. No. Chapter 2. Later, three Hebrew boys are told they have to bow down to an idol. Everyone listens to this kind of music, and everyone bows down. It's the rule. Don't be a stick in the mud. And those three Hebrew boys said what? No. 50-some years later, Daniel is about 70 years old or so, and they make a law that you cannot pray anymore. For all those months, you cannot open the windows, and you can't pray anymore. What are you going to do with that, Daniel? Daniel said, no. No. Psalm chapter 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Proverbs 1:10 says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Ephesians 6, "Having done all to stand, stand therefore." I believe one of the most important words that you and me as Christians can learn is no. No. This world is getting more and more wicked every single day of our lives. We have to use that word more than any other time in human history. No. You've got to learn to say the word no. When my kids were young, when you're a parent, what's one word that you feel like you're constantly saying to your kids? We have a puppy right now. It's like, no, 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 no. It's like, the dog feels like he's getting in trouble all the time. Your kids, they feel like they're getting in trouble all the time when they're little and they're learning that word no. I remember like we had a fireplace and it was not allowed to touch the fireplace. They'd go to reach to touch that fireplace. No, don't touch that. Cry. You know, dad's no is a little different than a mom's no, you know. Some reason it makes them cry. When mom says no, it's not a big deal. But when dad says no, it's like, freaks them out. And they do it again, of course, you know. They don't ever learn the first time. And they go to reach that, touch that fireplace. No! And they still don't learn. They go do it a third time. And it's like, got to get the gun. It's constant with kids. No, I'm not that. All of them are still alive, all right? All five kids are still alive. Up here, though, inside thoughts, all right? Inside thoughts. But that's how God feels with us sometimes. It's a simple word. No. Why don't you use it more often? It's something in our life that, it sounds simple. But it doesn't just stop with kids. Sometimes we think we got to just teach the kids that, but us as adults, life is constantly evolving with more wickedness that we didn't even know existed.
Right.
Things that evolve into our, that are created into our society, that we've got to use spiritual discernment from the Bible, using Bible principles, and learn to say no. I'm tired of our young people that they go to the stores and all the fashion trends that get pushed into our society, into our culture, and the average person just thinks it's cool because that's what they're putting. We're letting designers choose what we wear as Americans. Constantly, because no one knows how to say no. Okay, I'll wear that. Oh, sure, I'll put that on. And they control and manipulate the population by just making whatever they want popular, whether it's modest, whether it's not modest. So sometimes as adults, we have to help younger kids learn how to say no. We've got to help the teenagers learn how to say no. But we've also got to learn the word no in our lives. The preacher of righteousness who saved the human race, that built the ark, was in his name, and I love it. His name was N-O-A-H. No. God put no in his name just so when he preached, he could say, no. Nehemiah was asked. I'm fitting no in somewhere in the Bible, all right, just in case you're wondering. I'm finding places, all right. Nehemiah was asked to come and compromise on the plains of Ono, and he said, no. All right. It was Joseph who said no to his brother's wicked living and the enticements of Potiphar's wife. It was Moses who said no to a rich life, pleasures of sin for a season. It was Mordecai who said no to bowing down to Haman. It was Samuel who said no when the preacher's kids, Hophni and Phinehas, could not. When the tempter came to Jesus and said, I will give you all these riches. And Jesus said no three different times. In the book of Acts, they were commanded to stop preaching in his name, and disciples said to the magistrates, no. Satan looked at Jesus through the soldiers and said, come off that cross if you're the Son of God. And Jesus said, no, for you and for me. We've got to learn it. You've got to learn it. I've got to learn it. I guarantee you, those that are serving God today, preachers that are serving God today, those in our church that God is using and that God is blessing, that God has allowed to do great things for him, learned at some point to say no, and they're still using that word today all throughout their life. How do you think churches, this church especially, has stayed the same for 52 years? There's been some preachers, some pastors in this church that learned to say the word no. You know, that word no is not very popular. It's not a popular word to use. They want us to accept everything. I'm thankful for the preachers that have pastored this church through the years, learned to say no and weren't afraid of it. Didn't care what people thought, cared about what God thought. Said no to immodesty, okay? Said no to the purple lights. Said no to having that preacher come preach here. Said no to that song. Said no to the black ceilings and looking like a concert. Said no to the wrong kind of Bibles. I'm thankful for the word no because it's kept me out of trouble in my life. I'm thankful for a dad who taught me the word no and taught me when to say no. My wife asked me, what's for dinner? I say, no! That just means we're going out to eat, all right? We're going out to eat. Oh, thank you. She's happy. I don't have to cook anything. But the word no. Say no to wrong friendships.
Yes.
Amen. Not just teenagers, adults.
Yes.
I could name names, I'm not going to, but people in my life that were close, I had to say no. They changed. They went contrary to the Bible, contrary to the doctrines of the Bible. There comes a time when a friend is dragging you down when you realize you're not strong enough to save them. The Bible says if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. He's saying sometimes you have to take extreme measures if you're going to save your life. Doctors, they call it amputation. Someone gets diabetes and sometimes they get gangrene and they've got to cut off a leg or they've got to cut off an arm to save your life. Sometimes it's a friendship, someone who has clung on to you. You see, it's never what happened to you, it's who happened to you. Pastor Treby said all the time, show me your friends, I'll show you your future.
Right.
Parents, sometimes we preach these things at our teenagers because it's a childish thing, but I'm sorry, at the end of the day, we're still a child of the King. We still have to learn to say no to the things of this world. Not just telling our kids. You see, it never what is what happened to you. It's who happened to you. It's always a friend. It was Amnon who had a friend. Who's got your ear? Young people, who's got your ear? Parents, who's got your ear? Is it someone on social media? Is it a YouTube influencer? Is it a social media influencer? Sometimes some of our young people today will play video games online with ungodly people that are not Christians that talk filthy and say bad jokes and talk about things they shouldn't talk about. Our young people will sit there and listen to that and don't want to say the word, no, stop, don't say that around me. Don't do that. Shouldn't be in those kind of chats. Shouldn't be around those kind of examples. You say, Brother Nichols, What and who do we say no to? You say no to drugs. You say no to idolatry. Say no to putting anything in front of God. Say no to taking God's name in vain. Say no to cursing. Say no to dirty jokes and shady text messages. You say, oh, that's easy. Oh, yeah, we understand. But do you do it? Or do you tolerate it? Say no to cursing and dirty jokes, shady text messages. Say no to pornography and dirty videos. Say no to deceiving your parents, young people, and lying to them. Say no to smart aleck attitudes and rolled eyes. Say no to idolatry. Say no to adultery. Say no to fornication and immorality and living together before you're married. Say no to touching the opposite gender before you're married. You know, there's hardly a sports player today who hasn't committed adultery, having multiple women in their lives, kids that have multiple moms, and you say, oh, there's a couple that they're Christians. Yeah, but they play every single Sunday. They play every single, that's what kept me from going in the NFL is I gave up a career because, I couldn't, they said like I wasn't fast enough or strong enough or something like that too, but I mean, other than that, Sundays was a big thing. That's what kept me from going that direction. But say no to immodest clothing in the summer and in the winter. Say no to illegal drugs. Say no to beer and wine. Say no to dancing and concerts. Say no to bitterness, jealousy, envy, criticism, gossip. Say no to more time. Listen to this. Say no to more time on social media than the Word of God. Say no to hanging out with the backsliders and the disgruntles. Say no to missing church all the time. Hey, what I'm trying to say is let's learn to say it with me. One word. Ready? Go.
No.
No. I could give you a list mile long. As Christians, if we're living by what the Bible says, we should be saying no to you. Say, man, that takes all the fun out of life. No, it doesn't. God replaces all of that with a lot of fun. I'm 36 years old now, and I'll tell you to this point, I have not regretted saying no to the things of this world. Not one time. The more I say no, the more God provides for me over and over and over. And many of you could say the same thing. Young people, you go to camp like you just did, make decisions. Man, you come back, you're fired up, you're stirred up, you sing in church. You know what you need to do? Get busy right away and start immediately saying the word no, 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 no. Because you're going to come back to the bad habits and the things that were in your life before you went to camp. And you made decisions to stop doing those things or staying away from those things or staying away from those certain people. And you've got to come back from camp and start saying no. Start saying no. You said yes at camp to the Lord and to His will for your life and the decisions that you made, but you've got to say no. Say no to prayerlessness. Say no to lustful looks, cheating and stealing and bullying, compromising, laziness, sleeping in, missing church, pride, gambling, lottery. Listen to this. Aaron couldn't say it, and he built the golden calf. Ahab couldn't say it, and his wife was eaten by dogs. Adam and Eve couldn't say it to the serpent, and they lost out on the Garden of Eden. Esau couldn't say it to Jacob, and he lost out on the blessings. Achan couldn't say it to gold, and his family was stoned. There's consequences when you don't say it. Nathan, the great preacher, looked at David the king and pointed his long bony finger and said, no! John the Baptist looked at Herod and Herodias and said, no! Elijah looked at Ahab and said, no! Martin Luther said it to the Catholic Church, nailed the 95 treaties to the door, and said no to their doctrine. John Bunyan was told if he would take a license from the Church of England that they would let him out of jail, and he said no. And in 12 years, he wrote the famous book, Pilgrim's Progress. God will use you when you learn to say the word no. I love the story of Bill Borden. Any of you have ever heard the story of Bill Borden before? A few of you have, okay? Bill Borden, I don't have time to go through this whole story, but there's a book called Borden of Yale, and he was born, young man, born into a wealthy family. His parents were millionaires. They owned a massive, huge dairy company. And as he got a little bit older, they came to him and his grandpa who owned the company, he was getting older, and they came to him and they said, William, they said, we want you to someday take over the business someday. And he said, I can't. They said, why? He said, because God's called me to become a missionary to Egypt. And they said, will you just consider it? He said, I can't. God's called me. And so he goes back to his room, and he had a diary there that he had just gotten. And his first words he put in there was, no reserves. No reserves. And right before he took off to Egypt, his family, they were pleading with him. And they said, can't you just send some money and someone else go? You don't have to go yourself. And he said, I can't. I've got to go. God's called me to go. And he grabbed that notebook and he wrote, no retreats. No retreats. He goes to the mission field. And he's over there, and shortly after he was there, he contacted a disease, and he died from that disease. Looked like his whole life was a waste. So his family had gathered his body and all his belongings and had got them brought back home. And after they had got them, one of them found his diary there and was going through it, and they saw the very first entry where it said, no reserves. Then they saw the second entry where it says, no retreats. Then in a very shaky, dying handwriting, they saw the last two words, no regrets. No regrets. No reserves. No retreats. No regrets. Many people have read that book of Bill Borden and his testimony and become missionaries because of his testimony. God did something great with him because he said no. Had all the wealth, everything he could have had in life that many people are striving to get. And he said, no, God called me to do something greater for him. Christian, I'm just telling you, anyone that has ever done anything great for God, anybody, go through the list, anybody who's ever done anything great for God had to learn to say the word no. Billy Sunday said no to the liquor bottle. C.T. Studd said no to a sports career and gave his millions to share the gospel. My dad said no to country singing in Nashville and singing with a group and said no to it, went to Bible college and then found my mom, married my mom. Man, am I thankful that my dad said no to that one decision. That one decision, if my dad had said yes, My life would be completely different. He would not have been married to my mom. I would not be in the ministry today. My dad probably would have been a drunk. My dad probably would have, his life would have been a mess. Everybody who he was going to be a part of in that industry, all those people, their lives are an absolute mess. I've gone and seen them with my dad on family trips. We've gone out there to Wyoming where some of them now live. They're all retired from the big, many of them went and sang and made millions of dollars. Now all of them are addicted to drugs and alcohol. None of them are married. Some of them, their kids don't want nothing to do with them anymore, living miserable lives. And I remember standing there with my dad. I was 10 or 11 years old the first time we went there. And my dad just happened to know where some of them lived. And he went just to go say hi to them. And I will never forget, one of them said to my dad, "Steve, you're just a lucky man." And my dad said, No, I'm not. He said, "No, I'm not. This was hard. This was hard to get what I have here." And all four of his kids were standing around him, my mom. He said, "This wasn't easy. There was a lot of decisions that got me to this point. Hard decisions in your life. If you're here on a Wednesday night, I know I'm preaching to the choir. You've been coming to church for a long time. But you think about the things that God did in your life. If you didn't learn to say the word no, would he have ever done them?" No, he wouldn't have. But because you learned to say no, God started blessing your life. God started using you. I'm encouraging you tonight to start using that word more, because our world is getting more and more wicked all around us. Turn on the TV, get on social media. I mean, it's just crazy some of the things that go on out there. Wild. And some of the sin that is just prevalent all over the place. Everywhere you go to the work field, it's just constantly around you. You've got to say the word no more than any other time in your life. What happens? Three things, real quick. Three things. What happens when you say no? Number one, it's when God turns your heart. It's when God turns your heart. Tiva, a young lady in my youth group, she came to church the first time. I've told you the story before. Because she started saying no to the things of the world, she came to church, immediately heard preaching, and all of a sudden got on fire for the Lord. Started giving up all the things that she had in her life. She had six siblings. None of them went to church. They made fun of her at school. They were big sports athletes. And she started saying no to everything. I mean, just wanted to just be a pure young lady. Whatever God wanted her to do, every time she came to church, here preaching, boom, she made a decision and kept that decision. And she kept saying no and kept saying no. And all of a sudden, she became a leader in the youth group, turned the youth group upside down, got countless numbers. I mean, we had, when she came to the youth group, we probably had 13 kids in the youth group. And when the day she left the youth group, we had around 45, 50 young people coming to church. And I'm going to tell you this, she was a massive part of it. Massive part of it. God used her in a great way. Then to get her six siblings, the brothers that were making fun of her at public school, got saved. They all started coming to church. All six of them into the Christian school. All six of them graduated just this past June. The last one graduated from the Christian school, and most all of them have gone off to Bible college. Every single one of them are in an independent Baptist church today, serving, whether it's a youth pastor or a bus captain, serving in some way. Her mom and dad got saved. Came to church and got saved. Now her mom is the church secretary of our church. Her dad is the head usher of our church. All because a young lady learned to say no. No is when God turns the hearts of people around you. God will use you to help be an influence to other people because you've got the character to say no. What else happens when you say no? Number two, it's when you see him. It's when you see him. Shadrach, how do you see? When the three Hebrew boys were thrown into the fire, you ever think about stories and kind of play them out in your mind, like how they might have happened? I don't think that when they threw those three boys into the fiery furnace, I don't think they were going in there saying, "Glory to God in the highest, hallelujah." I don't think they were going in like that. They're just like, even though they made a good decision and said no to the king, I mean, I imagine they went in there, freaking out, probably for like 10 minutes or screaming, until one of them, "Hey, stop. We're still alive." And they're looking around, "We are still alive. We're not even burning anymore. Why was I screaming? Man, this is awesome." All of a sudden, they see Jesus in there. "What is going on? We're alive? Jesus is here? This is incredible." God, they could see Jesus more clearly because they learned to say the word no. You see, this world is like clouds. They make it cloudy. And because there's so much wickedness all around us, We have a hard time seeing God because we're getting closer to the ways of this world than we are to His ways, and learning to say no to the millions of things that are surrounding us, and we can't see God clearly. But when we learn to say no, God can start using us. We can see Him more clearly. King Nebuchadnezzar looked in that fire and said, "Hey, we threw three young boys in there. They should be roasting by now. What's going on?" Looks in there and says, "Whoa, there's a fourth man in there. What's going on? He looks like the Son of God. He looks like, fellas, get out of there." All of a sudden, he's feeling guilty. "Fellas, come on, get out of here." Gets them out of there, but Jesus stays in the fire because I believe to be there for those in the future that would go through fires. Like you and me, we go through fires. We go through the fiery furnace sometimes in our own life, the trials of this world. But guess what? Jesus is there with us. Jesus is there to help you get through them. Every one of us in this room are in different stages. Some of you are going through a trial, a fiery trial that right now that does not look good. You don't know how to get out of it. Guess what? Jesus is there with you. He's in the fire with you. He's helping you get through that. You're not alone. I promise you, you're not alone. Don't quit on church. Don't quit on God. He hasn't quit on you. He's still there. He still wants to help you. He will answer your prayers. And I promise you, you'll get out of the fire eventually. You'll get through it. And there's better days ahead. The next chapter, King Nebuchadnezzar changes his tune and wants to all of a sudden now glorify God. Writes like a track and is put all over the place. Because, why? Some young men learn to say the word no. No! And God used them to turn a king around. Turn his heart towards the Lord. You want to see your dad come to church. You want to see him get saved. You want to see your mama get saved. You want to see a grandparent get saved. You want to see a friend or a neighbor get saved. Start learning to say the word no and distance yourself from this world. And someday they might just get saved because they realize something's different about them. I don't want what this world has anymore. They're different than everybody else. They don't say yes to all these things. They say no. Why? God might just open that door if you stay faithful to Him and learn to say that word. And thirdly, I love the vengeance of God in the Bible. They say to Daniel, can't pray anymore. You'll get thrown into the lion's den. And there's Daniel, and they throw him in. And then I love it. The next morning, the king comes and says, "Oh, Daniel, is the God whom thou servest," keyword, "continually." He wasn't in and out. He wasn't back and forth. He wasn't hit or miss. He was there all the time. He was faithful. He says, "The God whom thou servest continually, is He able to protect thee from the lions?" I have a bad attitude sometimes. If I was Daniel, I'd say, "Why don't you come down here and find out? Why don't you come down here? The man who turned your back on me and didn't stand up for me, you're the guy that didn't deliver me. Why don't you come on down here?" But I love it. When Daniel came out, the king all of a sudden said, "Hey, who's the guys who accused Daniel? Let's throw them into the lion's den." You see, when you learn to say the word no, number three, God handles your enemies. God handles your enemies. I'm just telling you right now, when you say no, the more you say no, you're going to have enemies in your life. You're going to have people, they're going to call you names all the time. "Oh, you're a goody two-shoe. Oh, you think you're better than us. And, oh, you think you've got all the answers. You think you're so good." No, I don't think I'm so good about it. I serve a great God, a good Savior who's there to take care of me. I just want to trust Him. And I know if I learn to say no to more things, He'll take care of me. The more I give into this world, the less He's going to take care of me. I just be a shining light in this world. Just be an example. You can't be an example. You can't be a shining light if you're just saying yes to everything. There's more that I don't care how long you've been coming to church. Go through your life. Evaluate it. There are some things I promise you can find that you need to start saying no to. There's some things in your life. If you start being honest with yourself, we're trying to ultimately be like who? Talk to me now. Trying to be like Jesus. And if you're trying to be like Him, who you think you're mighty and there's nothing else in your life you need to say no to, good luck. Good luck being blessed by the Lord. When God sees you trying to get closer to Him, here's what He sees. You saying no, 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 because you're trying to get closer to Him. This world will throw many things at you. Young people, This is a dangerous time in your life. Max, dangerous time in your life. Young people, the devil is trying hard. You just came back from camp. I'll tell you this right now. You absolutely ticked the devil off this past week. The spirit you came back with Sunday night and the way you sang Sunday night showed your church you're ready to tear it up for the Lord. The devil has put a target on you. He wants to cause drama in the youth group at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. He says, man, it's hard to get into that church, but if I can get them to fight with each other, if I can get them to cause problems with each other, get mad at each other, if I can get the parents of the teenagers upset at each other, man, it's a win for me. And the devil knows how to get in this church. He knows how to use good people to mess things up. I'm only 36 years old, and I've seen it countless times. People I would have never have thought caused problems in a church. All of a sudden, devil, because people stopped saying the word no to some things. Young people, say no to more. Yes. Say no to more. Try to have a pure life. Try to have a pure heart and tear it up for the Lord. Do something great. Parents, cheer them on. Sometimes teenagers come. I was a youth pastor for a while, and man, teenagers would come back. Man, they're just ready to tear it up. And sometimes parents weren't ready to go forward with their teenagers. But it was sad to see parents. When teenagers would come home from youth conference or come home from camp, stirred up, made big decisions in their life, and the parents kind of doused that fire out. Discouraged them because they felt guilty of the life they were living at home, and their teenager was doing too much for the Lord, too tenderhearted to the Lord, to the preaching, and were convicted too much, and the parents didn't like it. So the parents kind of didn't let them go to as many things. Is that you? I hope not. I hope you're proud of your teenagers when they say no to the things of this world. Without you there. I hope you're proud of them when they're tempted and on their own, they say no. I remember if there was a way that I could make my parents proud, it was when they knew I was tempted away from them. As parents, sometimes we want to try to overprotect them and keep them from ever being faced with anything. But there comes a time when they've got to step up. They've got to make decisions on their own. They've got to be tempted without mom and dad hovering over, making every decision for them. And I'm thankful for the times when I was tempted by people that were very influential to make wrong decisions. But because of a mom and daddy who poured into my life, I wanted to make the right decision. And I said no to things when others said yes to things. I said no, and I'm thankful. I didn't say no to everything. I wasn't perfect, just like many of you that were in this youth group years ago. You made some mistakes, but thank God for all the people in Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank God for all the people in my church growing, all the men and the ladies in my church that helped push me in the right direction and taught me how to say no. And I'm telling you this, there's a joy you get. I don't know what it is, but the Lord just gives you a joy, And the more you say no, the more clear things are. Easier it is to say no. It's hard in the beginning. Maybe you're a new Christian. Maybe you're new to church. And you're in the beginning stages of learning to say no to things in this world. It's maybe hard right now. Stick to it. Stick to it. Lord will help you get through that. And I promise you, the longer you're a Christian and you experience the blessings that come and all those things that come after you say the word no, it's going to start getting easier because, you know, this may be hard to say no now, but I know down the road God's going to bless me. God's going to reward this decision down the road. Good things will happen when you just follow the Bible. Good things. I haven't made a decision based on Scripture and look back like Bill Borden. Man, regrets. Ah, why did I do that? Ah, Bill Borden on his deathbed at a young age. I can't remember the age he died, but he was very young. Young age, as he's dying on the mission field with a disease he got on the mission field, with his hands shaking, they could tell by the handwriting, no regrets. No regrets. That ought to be enough for you to hear someone like that, a testimony like that, to say, boy, it is worth it to serve Jesus. It's worth it to just to say the word no. Some of you just need to learn it. When you learn to say the word no, it makes it easier to say yes to God. It makes it easier to say yes. Just because you say the word no doesn't mean there's some things you need to say yes to. God calls you to be a bus captain. You better answer that call. God calls you to be a Sunday school teacher. You better answer that call. Better say yes. I don't know about you, but I want to be in the center of God's will. The center of His will. Because when I'm off and I'm doing my own thing, I can forget about God blessing my life. I can forget about him being right there and taking care of me. I don't want to be like the prodigal son, young person. I heard too many stories growing up. How many stories do you have to hear of young people who strayed away like the prodigal son for you to follow their footsteps and do the same thing? How many more do you have to hear? You've heard enough. Many of you have been coming to church your entire lives. You've heard preaching. You've heard stories. You've seen it all throughout the Bible. You've heard and heard and heard and heard. How many times do you have to hear it before you decide, I'm not doing that? I'm staying with the Bible. I'm staying with God's ways. Good thing is, young people, you're in a church that just simply preaches the Bible. We don't preach man's opinion. We preach the Bible, the King James Bible. We were just sowing the other day, me and Brother Tony, and we're talking to a man, and we're talking about the confusions of this world and all the different religions. And I said, it's our church, pretty simple. I'm like, we don't even have to get into it. I said, we just believe the Bible. And he said, I like that. I said, do you believe the Bible? And he said, yeah. I said, so do we. Every single word. We don't read it and pick some things we like and then take out the things we don't like. If it's from God, I want it in my life, no matter how hard it is. When God tells me to say no to something, it may be hard, it may test me, but I'm going to say no to it. I'm going to make the hard decision. And the man just said, I respect that. I like that. And he said, I believe that too. Do you believe it? Does your life believe it? It's one thing to say you believe something. It's another thing to live by what you believe. I hope tonight, when you go home, what do I need to say no to? What do I need to get out of my life that the devil has creeped his way in? Sometimes you'd be surprised how the devil has slipped his way into your house and into your life without you realizing it. He's a snake.
Yes, sir, he is.
He knows how to get in there.
Yes, sir.
He knows how to get into your kid's life.
Yep.
He knows how to get into your wife's life and into your life. He knows how to do it better than you know how to do it. He's wiser than you are. He's smarter than you are. Just throw a Bible at him, though. Just throw this at him. And when he tries to tempt you, like he did to Jesus, just say it with me one last time. 1, 2, 3.
No.
Darren Fowler, thank you so much for your word, Lord. I know you've given us a lot of things in life, Lord, that we're supposed to say no to. And we learn day by day as Christians more and more things in our life that we've got to get rid of. We can't allow into our life. Lord, I pray that you would just help us as Christians to be strong, to be mature as Christians and stay close in your word. We have a hard time saying no. We have a hard time seeing the things that we need to say no to, Lord, when we don't wake up and read our Bibles, when we don't have a relationship with you, we have no prayer life, Lord. We have a hard time clearly seeing you and seeing how to get closer to you because we've strayed away from you. We don't cherish that relationship. We don't cherish church as much anymore. We get to it when we can or when we're off of work, or we don't make it a priority in our life, Lord. Lord, I pray that we get our priorities straightened out. Lord, I pray that you would help us to encourage each other, Lord, to say no. I pray you'd help us as friends, iron sharpening iron, Lord, to when one of us is not doing something we should, Lord, be a friend and show them, hey, don't forget what the Bible says. Shouldn't be doing that. It's not what I'm saying. It's what the Bible says. Well, I pray you'd help us as Christians to be there for one another, just like you're there for us. In Jesus' name.